Well, our first scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2. I encourage you to follow along with that, found on page 1179 of the Pew Bible. We'll read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 24. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And we'll conclude our reading there and pick it up shortly. Let us come to our God in prayer and ask for his blessing now on his word. Let's pray. Merciful and heavenly Father, Lord, you've given your son Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, to inherit the throne of David and to reign over your kingdom forever. You are the giver of life, and Jesus, we have life. And we thank you, Lord, for the birth of your Son, Emmanuel, because you are with us in him. You are with us through your Holy Spirit. And thank you that, Lord Jesus, you are our wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and mighty God. Father, grant that through Christ your Son, we too would be born from above, inheriting through faith the covenant promises of the children of God, and that we too know you as our Father and love you as your children. As we've gathered here, Lord, to remember in particular what he has done for us in taking on our flesh, grant to us what we stand in need of as we turn to your word, that you would grant to us, Lord, what we need to understand, that you would illuminate our hearts with that truth. And we ask this all, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us pick up from where we left off there in Luke chapter 2. We'll read from verses 25 to 40. We'll be looking at this section, especially verses 25 to 38 this morning for our Christmas meditation. Luke chapter 2, beginning our reading at verse 25. That's found on page 1180 of the Pew Bible. Hear now God's word. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that concludes the reading of God's holy word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. I'll encourage you to have your Bibles open to that passage, Luke chapter 2, in verses 25 to 38. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think anyone would disagree with me that we live in a day where we are in desperate need of role models. You only have to follow your news feed to find out about the characters of those who are within the entertainment industry or in politics. We're not speaking here about the worldly kind. We're talking about those in whom the world is not worthy. Simeon was no sports icon. He was a prophet, someone who the world would look down upon. And Anna was no flashy Hollywood star. Scripture presents an old lady, a widow, a godly woman who served the Lord and gave thanks for this day of Christ's appearing. Both are witnesses because the truth is confirmed by two or three witnesses, as Scripture teaches. They're credible witnesses who give us Spirit-inspired testimony at the time of Jesus' infancy. Now, that must have been so uplifting for Mary and Joseph. For that reason, these are unique events. They do not appear anywhere else in any of the other Gospels. It's only here that we see this. Also, these events take place in the temple. The infancy narratives begin in the temple. When we think of the vision that Zacharias had, John the Baptist, his son who would be born, and then they end with the Lord himself coming into the temple. But these people were saints of God who were used by him in a very important moment at the Messiah's coming. There are plenty of fine godly men and women in the drama of the coming of the Messiah. The humility of Zacharias, the faith of Mary who believed the angel, the joy of Elizabeth giving when she gave birth in her old age. And now we come to these two individuals. So hear God's word today under the theme, A Wonderful Day at the Temple, and we'll look at these two with our 2 points. First of all, Simeon's farewell, and then secondly, Anna's testimony. Simeon's farewell, first of all, notice in verses 25 and 26 those words, it says, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now we don't know much about Simeon's circumstances. He lived in Jerusalem. He was righteous, meaning he lived by God's righteous law, just like many of the others in this drama, like Joseph and Mary. Devout means his attitude. It means someone who fears God and is very careful to do what pleases him, knowing that you're living before God. This is very important in how we are to live as well, to be devout. Furthermore, we learn that he was waiting for the Messiah. And with the Greek, the way that the Greek goes in terms of its Greek tenses, the verb here, wait, means that he's waiting with anticipation on an ongoing basis. This was his continual frame of mind, busy waiting for this event. And this was the consolation of Israel. The consolation, this comfort. It's a very rich theme that we find within the Old Testament. How in the midst of suffering and darkness and judgment against sin, devout men and women could look forward to the Messiah who would bring comfort to them in their trials. And this certainly is the theme for us today, how Jesus' birth and coming bring us great comfort and joy and peace. All the things that are associated with the age of the Messiah. We look back. We look back at what took place. And we can join Simeon here as someone who waits on God for consolation. But not only looking back, looking with anticipation for that peace that we can have with the Lord when he returns again. Though we may be scorned by the world, though we may be troubled, this is to be our hope. And so we learn also that the Holy Spirit was upon him. By the Holy Spirit, it had been revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How he must have walked through the city of Jerusalem those days, waiting and wondering, is this the day? Or as he saw a young boy or a young man coming before him, thinking to himself, is this the one? Is it him? Is it him? But finally that day came. And being guided by the Spirit, he came to these parents, bringing in the child Jesus. We're not told how he knew. There wasn't like this halo or this glow over Mary and the child. There would have been throngs of people doing the very same thing that day. They're in the temple, they're there to worship God, they're there to offer sacrifices. And so the Holy Spirit was the only one who could direct Samson. Here's the one that God promised. And it's a child. A little infant. And he took him in his arms and blessed God. Now there are two parts to his words here. One is praise and prophecy, and then the other is a prophecy of pain. The prophecy is referred to here as the Nunc Dimittis. The Nunc Dimittis. Nunc Dimittis is a Latin translation of the words, now you are dismissing. And so with these words, showing that he was ready to die, he says in verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Now, not many could pray that prayer. At least not in the sense of having been able to hold the Savior in your arms. This is quite a moment in salvation history. Holding the child, holding the Savior, that's quite something in and of itself. And not only that, but praying this prayer, now you may let your servant depart in peace. Death is something that holds a terror. It holds men in bondage where they fear it all their lives, whether you're 5 years old, or 15, or 45, or 85. These words remind us as Christians of our comfort in the face of death, that we can say farewell to this world because we know the consolation of Christ. And furthermore, in this prophecy of praise, he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared beforehand, before rather the face of all peoples. So this is not a narrow view of salvation. This isn't just for the Jews. He certainly saw the message of the prophets, especially Isaiah, the blessing that salvation will be to the Gentiles as well as to God's people. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles who walked in absolute darkness in their heathen religions and ways. And the light will come to them and they will know it. And furthermore, it will be the glory of your people Israel. This was the glory that was promised to Isaiah, that through them God would pave the way for the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 62, verse 3, addresses Zion in this way. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, in a royal diadem in the hand of your God. So this was a humble recognition of God fulfilling his plan of redemption of the world. Simeon saw, and he was a witness. This truth remains for anyone who sees Christ with faith. For anyone who sees him by faith is ready to die. And anyone who trusts him, whether young or old, is ready to be dismissed from this life. Now, have you seen Christ? Some people think they have seen Christ. You know, they've seen Jesus in the manger. They've seen a manger scene, but that's not what this is getting at here. How do we see him? You see him when you believe that his crucifixion was for your sins. You believe him when you see from God's word that he was raised from the dead for your salvation. That's how you know you have seen him. And so what a revelation this must have been for this man. Now was the time for him to depart in peace. No wonder Joseph and Mary were amazed. These were amazing things. What an encouragement that must have been for these parents who were so poor that they could barely scrape enough together to have a sacrifice made for their son when he was circumcised. Here they're in the temple. Who in the world would believe that their son was the Savior? They're just looking like everybody else. But here he is. And it's this child that Simeon, out of nowhere, comes and praises and blesses God. But with that praise, he also gives this second part of the prophecy of pain. Not everything about Christ's birth is sweet and wonderful. Death, division, and pain would come. Mary would face great trouble. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Some would rise, others would fall, but no one was able to stay in the middle. Those who believed in him would rise, but those who rejected him would fall. Furthermore, he said this child would be a sign. There would be opposition to his ministry. His very life was a sign that he was the Christ. Jesus is the embodiment of this sign, which many would oppose. Moreover, Simeon says, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. The word here, sword, is a word for a large sword. Despite her intense joy over the birth of her firstborn son, the day would come when she would suffer such grief. It would be like a sword entering her heart. She would watch her son grow up. She would see the opposition. Eventually, she'd be standing at the foot of the cross. This prophecy would come true. But this prophecy shows that God had a mission. This was required for him to suffer and die for sinners. And his death would strike a double blow with news that would save, but also news that would condemn. As he says there, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Events would prove to reveal what was in the hearts of men. It's describing to us especially the Pharisees and the other religious officials who had such a false piety, a hypocrisy about them. Unbelievers will be exposed. Those who imagine themselves strong and high and rely on their own merits and power will come to a woeful end and ruin. But the humble, those who love the preaching of this good news, will be filled with joy in the Lord. So there would be sorrow, but mingled with that sorrow would be the comfort that the light of salvation has come. So what is your response to Jesus? Are you for him or are you against him? Are you part of this rising? Are you part of this falling? What a joy this is for us here today who believe in the joy and the message of Christ. He brings us peace. True peace with God and goodwill. So we have this wonderful news of salvation that Jesus died for our sins. But outside of him is God's judgment against sin. Now, the amazing thing is that during this time, while Simeon was still speaking, Anna came. Verse 38 says that in that instant, meaning at that moment, she came and she gave thanks, which means that she came just at the time when Simeon was making these prophecies, and she would have heard every word. And that brings us to what we see here secondly, and that is her testimony. Note again, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. In verse 38, and this woman, verse 37, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This Anna is an amazing woman. Her name means grace. She was a prophetess. She had not been commissioned the same way that John the Baptist was, who went out into the wilderness and who proclaimed the way of the Lord. But she was in some way a prophetess who knew the Lord and directly spoke to God's people. Just like Deborah in the Old Testament, she could direct the people in the ways of God. And what's interesting about her as well is that she's from the tribe of Asher. The tribe of Asher is thought to be a lost tribe by this point, but obviously not in a total sense. And she was also very old, and her character very unique, because, as the text says, she was a widow of 84 years and was only married for 7. We got a picture here of someone who didn't think very highly of herself and was concerned about others, especially since she did not depart from the temple but was there night and day fasting and praying. She served God by offering him her praise. She participated in public worship, never missing a service. She also fasted. Fasting here is an expression of total dependence on God for both physical and spiritual life. And it seems appropriate that she's called the daughter of Phanuel, because Phanuel means the face of God. And this is what she did. She was seeking the face of God. She had a deep spiritual hunger for God. And she practically lived in the temple serving God night and day. It's the kind of woman who's a great example to others. It's the kind of person that we should desire to be, and it's the kind of person that we should look up to. J.C. Ryle writes, "It would be well for all Christian women to ponder the character of Anna and learn wisdom from it. The times, no doubt, are greatly changed, but," he says, "still in every deduction there remains much in Anna's history which is worthy of imitation." And so coming at that instant, at the time when Simeon said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace," she came. She heard everything that was said. She saw Simeon holding up the child before him. After all these years of being in the temple, at that moment, she saw Christ, and she gave thanks to the Lord for this. For what comfort there is in just the simple news of Jesus Christ being born in the world. And she did more than this. The text says, "And she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." There were people who were looking for this and who waited for this news. And she told others about it. "I've seen the child. I've seen the one who's promised." Quite something for an 84-year-old lady. What a contrast this is to those who are old and unhappy and not satisfied. They perhaps have lost all their friends. Their wife or husband has died. They're all alone. Nobody ever treats them right. No one ever does good to them. Everyone is in the wrong. Everyone has to deal with their miserable moods. What an ugly place nursing homes and retirement homes can be sometimes, where there are people who are living exactly that way, who may have that kind of attitude. Just mean, bitter people. What a contrast to Anna, who had thanksgiving and praise and was telling others. This is again Ryle. He said, what we read here of her consistency and holiness and prayerfulness and self-denial, we cannot but wish that many daughters of the Christian church would strive to be like her. We might say, well, I'll never be like that when I'm old. I'll never be crusty. It's so easy to become that way for any of us if we're not putting godliness into our lives. Wives shouldn't be riding on the coattails of the godliness of their husbands. There should be a love for God and the things of the Lord. Do you have a personal interest and passion to live for Christ? Or do you just tag along with the family devotions? Going to church because that's what your husband does. What a contrast that is to the woman who was devoted to the Lord in her widowhood. And what a contrast she is to the unsatisfied, the discontented, the compromising, who put their faith in the stuff of this life. But when they grow old, they can become bitter and angry instead of being sweetened and transformed by the grace of God. Such a challenge to us. If Simeon and Anna had so little to help them live such a life of faith, how much more should we, who have the entire Bible and the full gospel? We have so much more. And therefore we must, like them, walk by faith and not by faith, not by sight. Anna received a rich reward for all her diligence in God's servants, in God's service. She saw the Christ and found great joy in Him. What's your life all about? Have you seen Jesus? Have you recognized Him as your Savior? If you have, praise God for the free gift of salvation. May you be able to speak of Jesus in the lives of your family and friends, waiting for and trusting the Lord that He will come again. So these events that made this day so special in the temple, a wonderful day. There are role models who we could admire and learn from. They lived in faith of those before them, waiting for the coming Redeemer who would bring in holiness and righteousness. What an encouragement that is. It's never an easy thing to grow older, to have bypass surgery, to grow weary in strength, and to be cared for by those in nursing homes, losing all your dignity while in the control of others. But no matter where we're at, no matter what stage we're at, whether we're young and healthy or have grown old and frail, maybe our memory's going or our bodies aren't able to do what they used to be able to do, wherever we might find ourselves this Christmas morning, health-wise or otherwise, may we be like these old saints who waited for Jesus and saw Him and they rejoiced. As we celebrate His first coming today by remembering His birth, may we also wait and be ready and joyful for His second coming. For what a day that will be. Amen. Shall we come to our God in prayer? Gracious God in heaven, thank You, Lord, for Your word that we're able to consider today. Thank You for the events that surrounded the birth and circumcision of Christ, the Lord, and for these two witnesses, for what they said and for who they were and how You used them. Help us, Lord, to have that same kind of life, a life of praise and service to You, a life of thanksgiving for Your salvation, that we would have faith in You, the eyes of faith in the unseen, that we would overcome along with the saints of old. We thank You for the gift of Jesus, who is the gift for our sinful natures, and how He died on the cross and gave His life for us. Hear our prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.